Well, amen. It's good to see you tonight. And as we get ready for Brother Tom to come this evening, I just want to give you a couple of instructions and a couple things to pray about. If you would, pray for our college ministry. One of our college students that has been attending for some time, Ryan Maynard, unexpectedly passed away this week. And I had some complications due to health issues and diabetes and whatnot. And he passed away at the hospital in Levi. I think Levi's here tonight, and Derek will be officiating that funeral, and I think it'll be Tuesday at 1 o'clock. And so pray for them, and pray for the family. They're from Minnesota, and they're a Roman Catholic, and we're pretty certain they don't know Jesus Christ as Savior. And so while we certainly mourn this young man's death, what an opportunity for our church family to share the gospel with them. Amen? And so we want to pray to that end. Now, I just want to say this. Thank you for being here tonight. What an incredible crowd on a Sunday night. And with the football game going on, and, you know, I'm sure there's some that are at our home tonight, and they're a little disappointed about the outcome. But you know what? The good thing is we can meet with the Lord tonight. Amen? And we certainly want to do that. And, you know, just as I was having lunch today with Brother Tom, and I was talking to April this afternoon, Lord's already speaking to me. And I hope you'll open your heart. You know, this week I was down in Atlanta at North American Mission Board for some coaching and training. And we had a speaker that talked to us about idols of our heart. And he gave us a list of about 11 different idols that we all have a tendency to build out in our life. And at lunch today, I was sharing with Tom the two areas that I struggle with are excess and escapism, you know. And we all struggle with something. We're all trying to live for God the best way that we can. And revival and setting aside a week and a few days to sing and praise God and to listen to the Word of God and to listen to what God has to say for us is probably one of the best things that we can do for our families, for our marriage, and ultimately for our church. And so I hope that you'll just make the commitment to be here. I've had a couple tell me, like, I'm going to do my best to get here every night, and I may not take a shower before I get. I see Ryan's here tonight with his uniform on, so if you get out of line, he'll cuff you. He has my permission to tase any kids running in the church house. Amen. And so that's just, you don't do that, right? And so anyways, but let's pray for revival. Let's ask God to work in our hearts. Gypsy Smith was an old-time pastor, and he said a long time ago, he says, you know, if you want God to start revival, you go home, you lock yourself in a closet, you draw a circle around yourself, and you ask God to start revival in the middle of that circle. And when he does, it's going to be on. And so we want to pray for that for our hearts and lives tonight. And so, Brother Tom, would you come? And would you preach and be a blessing to our folks tonight? Would you welcome him as he comes to the platform this evening?
Oh, now I am. I don't want to think about a pastor that will stand up and just boldly acknowledge his own sin and struggles. Boy, oh boy. You know, I guess I'm in a lot of places. For the record, he's not perfect. I know that. You say, well, you've known him a long time. You don't. No, he's not perfect. He's a mess. But I already told you I'm a mess, too. He said I'm his mentor. He gets that mess from me and some other people, too. But if you don't think you are, you need to get right with God tonight. I'll just go ahead and tell you that. And this is a good night. This is a good Sunday night crowd. Let me tell you what revival is. I've been studying it. It's been the study of my life, to tell you the truth. I need to talk about it until I finish this cough drop because I'll swallow it, choke myself, right on it. Revival is, Steve Gaines, who followed Adrian Rogers at Bellevue, said, revival is a supernatural work of the Holy Ghost. We talked about him this morning. Among believers. That results in a supernatural work in the lost. But it all starts in the life of believers, and some of that's honesty and humility. Ivan Foster said, the old Puritan said, that revival is when God returns to his people in power. When a renewal of power comes. The scripture says that revivals is a times of refreshing from the presence of the Lord. It's getting in near him. But one of my favorite definitions, and I got lots of them, is the definition that Vance Havner said. He said that revival, real revival, is falling in love with Jesus all over again. I don't know a church that couldn't use that. I don't know a family or a believer or anybody that could not benefit from just deeply falling in love with Jesus. Can I go ahead and tell you that though I get to do this in churches all the time, I don't have a magic quotient. I don't have a magic potion for revival. I didn't bring that in a briefcase to share with you. But I can share with you the principles of revival. And then we can look to God for the supernatural to occur. You say, you really believe in the supernatural? Look, I have just a wee bit of Pentecostal in me. Just a little bit. Somebody told me that originally, the word Pentecost and Pentecostal speaks of people that believe God is still speaking. I believe God is still speaking. You know, He's speaking through His Word, but He's speaking in other ways too. I'm going to talk about that tonight. But God is still speaking, Jacob. By the way, I'm impressed with your intern there. On the first this, and then the screen, and then the other. I may hire him to come to North Carolina. It's warmer in North Carolina, Jacob. But can I just encourage you as a congregation? This week, how many ever went to camp when you were growing up? Christian camp, raise your hand. Remember how awesome it was? You get away from the world and all the influences. And during those times were some of the most spiritual moments I can remember. Well, that's what we're asking God to do this week. Kind of like a Jesus camp every night. And if it gets going, let me tell you what happened the other week in a church. God started moving in such an unusual way, Pastor. Like on the first night or two, we started having extra meetings. We started having a meeting or so before the services. And a few crazy people were coming to it because they couldn't get enough. It was like, when the wind of God begins to blow, then people want to be. There's nothing more exciting than to be in the presence of God Almighty. And we start having extra times and a few afterwards. But I'm going to show you something tonight. If you'll take your Bibles and look with me, I have a template. God has spoken to me clearly on Southgate Church. And I want you to look at Psalm 85, first of all, for a template. And we're going to come back to Psalm 85 every single night. And we're going to lift one little phrase out of a two-verse section. And every night, we're going to move through this template. And I am so excited about being here with you all. I'm going to be praying some. I have fasted and prayed in preparation for our time together. I take it quite seriously. And I believe you are as well, or you wouldn't be here tonight. Now look, everything that could happen will happen to try to keep you from being here in these services. But it could be that a stronghold is going to be pulled down. It could be that a victory is going to be won. If you have enough faith to believe God, and we'll take Him in His Word and hear what He has to say. These are familiar verses, Psalm 85, verse 8 and 9. And I want to give them to you because these, it's almost like the Lord said, this is what I have for Southgate this week. Take a look at it. I'm reading from my translation, but I don't know what they'll put up on the board, but all will be great. Look at verse 8, Psalm 85, verse 8. I will hear what God the Lord will speak, for He will speak peace unto His people and to His saints. But let them not return again to folly. Surely His salvation, that word means deliverance, is nigh unto them that fear Him, that glory may dwell in our land. That glory may dwell in our land. This week, we're going to ask God for a glory revival. You know what the glory of God is? The glory of God is the essential presence of God in all of His splendor as He reveals Himself to man. I'm going to say that one more time. The glory of God is the essential presence of God in all of His splendor as He reveals Himself to man. I want you to think about the time you've been the nearest to Him. You may have been driving down the road in the car and a song came on or a truth God gripped your heart with. And I have to pull the car over when He blesses me like that in the car. I can't drive. I'll hurt somebody or myself. It could have been in a service or a gathering. I have written down a list of places and experiences that I've had with God where He got so near to me that I experienced His glory. The word glory is also another word for His presence revealed. Now we know He's here tonight because He said, where two or three are gathered, I'll be in the room in the midst. But we also know that He's here by His felt presence sometimes. The unusual occasion in your life and mine when God shows up in our Bible study. Or in the morning when we're praying. You know those times When he quickens that truth to your heart and it becomes so real to you, you can almost feel him in the room. Oh, I love that. You say, well, you're a little emotional. Well, yes, I am. I found out that there are three parts of me. I'm a body and I'm a spirit, but I'm also a soul. I'm a trichotomy guy, and I'm all about the soul. The soul is the seat of your emotions. I really believe, honestly, a lot of people could get a hold of a little more of their soul. Open your soul to feel and experience what God has in mind. I don't bypass my mind or when I get to my soul, but I'm very interested. That's why I told you this morning, I watch those Hallmark movies. I do. You say, why do you do that? I think it keeps my soul open. Tell you the truth about it. I haven't found that in the Bible. I'm looking for it. But one day, I may find it. Either way, I want to be tender to people. I want to be tender before God. I want to be humble before Him. I want to be real. Don't you want to be real, church? You do, don't you? Some of you are very real. As a matter of fact, some of you came up after the service and started sharing things with me, and I've never been greeted more warmly than I have been here each time I've come. So let's get into our time together. Look at the first part of verse 8. And here's what we're going to talk about tonight. Pick up next part tomorrow night. I will hear what God the Lord will speak. For He will speak peace unto His people and to His saints. I want to preach tonight on how to hear God speak for revival. How to hear God speak. Will you turn to the Revelation chapter 3 in your Bibles? Revelation chapter 3. And I wonder if anybody in this room needs to hear God speak. Anybody would like to know how, Pastor, in these days of turmoil and challenge, how do you hear the voice of God? Can I tell you something? He wants to speak. It's just we got all these other noises that are loudly in our hearts and in our ears. We can't hear God speak. You know, when I have a responsibility to come to a city like this, I feel like my burden is not just for you all, but for the city. And I begin to pray, Lord, what do you want to say to that church? What do you want to say to me first? What do you want to say to the church? What do you want to say to the pastor? What do you want to say to the staff? What do you want to say to the deacons, Lord? What do you want to say to that part of the city? What would you like to say, God, to Springfield, Missouri? You say, you must take your work seriously. I think the call of God to open His Word in a meeting like this is the highest calling on this planet. And I don't think I'm anything much. But I got the living God living in me in the power of the Holy Ghost. And therefore, I can hear Him speak. And so can you. And we're going to talk about that tonight. I wonder if there's anybody in the room that need to hear God speak about your spiritual formation, your growth, your development as a believer. I wonder if there's anybody here that need to hear God speak, maybe a student or a young person, about some choices that are before you. I hear people say all the time, we ask our students, what do you want to do when you graduate? That's a dumb question. Stop asking them that question. Here's what we ask. What does God want you to do? What is God saying to you? Look at the next. Some people have some major burdens and opportunities before them. Some have decisions to make or relationships that are going in every direction. Well, don't you think you need to hear what God has to say about that as opposed to your reasoning? Pastor, they want to call us, and I love to meet with the people, but I want a congregation of people that know how to hear God speak for themselves and walk with God in the understanding of what He has to say. Did you know if you can't hear God speak, you can't hear Him say to you every day, I love you. Everything's going to be all right. I need to hear Him say that. I remember as a young church planter in the metropolis of Dunn, North Carolina, with 10,000 in the population. Listen to this, 10,000 people, and over 10% of them go to our church. Here's what's crazy. I get to that town, and I'm trying everything I've ever heard anybody else try, and nothing's working. And then the Holy Spirit that we talked about this morning, who loves us, who has a plan for this meeting, dropped that Henry Blackaby, Experiencing God Bible Study, in my lap. I want to see the hands of those of us who have walked through that little study, Experiencing God. Raise your hand if you have. Oh, my goodness. There's a number of us. Do y'all remember what four things he said about how to hear God speak? Mostly older people, too, by the way, that just raised their hand. Most it was. Listen to me. He said, and he's a godly old missionary full of Jesus. In fact, I was at Southeastern Seminary once. one day in a chapel service for the convocation to begin the I wasn't there to preach. I was just there as a guest sitting in the back. And they started playing the music and the worship, and in walks Henry Blackaby. And he shared these four things. God speaks in four ways. I'm getting in the text in a minute. Just stay with me here. He said God speaks through prayer. How many times have you ever been praying, and when you're walking with God, I'm talking about, not when you've got your sins confessed and you're walking near to God and you're needing to hear Him and you're praying, how many times has He ever quickened to your heart what you need to pray? You know what the old timers used to say where I grew up in the country? Here's what they said. We need to do more praying in the Holy Ghost. I found that. That's in the Bible. That's not just for Pentecostals either. That's for Baptists. It's in the book of Jude. He says, but ye beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith. Listen to this. Praying in the Holy Ghost. Well, what is that? That's when the Holy Spirit quickens to your heart what His mind and heart is, so that you can pray the will of God. The Spirit of God lets you know. I'm telling you, listen to me. God speaks through prayer. While you're praying, keep you a pad of paper beside next time you go to prayer. You say, well, I pray in the car. We'll get you a little pad there. Pull over and write notes. Don't write while you're driving, right, law man? All right. Number two, God not only speaks through prayer. Number two, God speaks through the Scriptures. Now, He's going to speak to us this week through the Word. He already has somewhat. He's going to speak more. He's going to have something to say to you. And let me just challenge you. And look, I love all of our devices. We all have devices and, you know, and we can Google everything up. And then right in the middle of it, somebody's going to text you. And then your mind's going to go off to wonder, tomorrow I'm going to eat at Panera. I mean, guess what? You're going to be thinking about things like, you're like those dogs on Up. You know what I'm talking about? Squirrel. And your mind's going to go away. But when you've got a copy of the Bible, you may actually be able to stay on track. So I'm challenging you to dig out your old Bible, blow the dust off of it, bring it to these services. But God speaks through the Scriptures. Hey, it might not be what I preach. It may be what you get into tomorrow. When you're moving through that chapter or that devotional, don't be surprised if a God moment doesn't happen in Scripture. God speaks through prayer. God speaks through the Scriptures. Number three, God speaks through the circumstances. You say, well, I don't really like what my circumstances have been lately. Well, can I go ahead and tell you something? You don't get to choose those. And God may be having something to say to you. You know, back in the late 80s, I was preaching revivals, and I thought I was the man. I would come in late at night. I could drive late at night. I was young. And Terry, you remember those times that you and the kids would be at home, and I would want to get back as quickly as I could after the meeting, and I would drive. And I remember getting 3 speeding tickets. I'm confessing my sin. Now he confessed his, I confess mine. Will you forgive me? 3 speeding tickets in 8 months. I almost lost my driver's license. That's terrible. Imagine the newspaper reading in a small town like ours, like Mayberry, local pastor loses driver's license. You know, is being driven around by his wife and young'uns. But listen to this. I started thinking about that, and I was going through this study. God speaks through the circumstances. You got any idea what God may have been saying to me through that? What? Say it. How about slow down? Just slow down. Not just your car. Slow your life down a little bit. God speaks through prayer. God speaks through the Scriptures. God speaks through the circumstances. And finally, God speaks through the church. Do y'all remember this? Through one another. Hey, if you were to come to North Carolina, if you come and I'm home, I'd like to show you the building that we are meeting in right now. It's a big old tabernacle. Years ago, we'd outgrown our little building, and we were seating about 350 in it, and then we had 2 services, and we needed to do something, and we're about ready to build, and this architect drew out this thing, and we're in the rural part of North Carolina. Hog country. I mean, if it's not a hog farm, it's a turkey farm. And, you know, I mean, riding down through there in the summertime, you roll the windows up and put on that recirculated air, or you smell something I can't talk about in publicly. But I'll promise you this. Where was I going on that story, Lord? Terry, you remember what I was telling? What? Where was I? Squirrel. No, I was not at the squirrel. Ushers, take this man out. He's out of order. And in the flesh. That building, oh, here it is. God speaking through the church. Thanks for nothing back there, squirrel man. All right, watch this. So imagine we're overflowing. The architect draws this, looks like a spaceship. It would literally have looked weird in the field in that rural community. It would not have fit. And we were about ready to build it. We'd raised half the money, had the project money in the bank, half of it to begin the building. And a little old lady, Pastor, came walking up to me. And I, by the way, everything everybody says to you will not be God speaking. Sometimes there's a few nuts in the church. Can I get an amen right there? That's reality. But she came up to me, and here was a godly old woman. Here's what she said. She said, Pastor, we're about to make a mistake. I said, yeah, ma'am. She said, we're about to make a mistake. She said, this church is growing so fast. We don't need a permanent kind of a situation. She said, we need a temporary dwelling place for a people on the move. She said, I'm almost quoting her there. She said, we need a tabernacle. Now, I remember the tabernacle in the wilderness, 75 wide by 150 long. Oh, I could hardly sleep a wink that night. I called a man, he wasn't an architect, but he was an engineer in our town, did some drawings. I called him next morning. I said, how many people could we seat in that? 1,100. Let me tell this story real quick. Now we've busted out those walls. We have middle balconies and upper balconies, and it seats many more than that today. But God spoke to me through the church. I can't tell you how many times in 37 and a half years of ministry that God has spoken to me through saints, through the children. Most recently, I'm looking at a young person. And you know how God spoke through the young people at Central? I announced to them I knew God had called me to step out into revival work and do this exclusively. And when I did, I said, we need to start praying. The Lord will bring the right person to us. We couldn't find the scripture. We couldn't find scripture for a pulpit search committee. Maybe you have it. If you do, come and show me that afterwards. We couldn't find a passage. We wanted to do it the Bible way. And so we started praying, Lord, you speak. We ended up in Acts 13, how they prayed and fasted, and then the people began to pray and fast, and then the Holy Spirit said, I'll take him and him. And our new pastor now was preaching. They were at youth camp at Liberty University. And his church was about 30 minutes to an hour from there. They brought him over for an after meeting. And with all the bands and all the cool preachers, guess when the power fell? It was when our new pastor came. And you know what was happening afterwards? Teenagers were coming up and saying to me, Pastor Tom, are you really going to leave? Well, I may not leave, but I'm not going to be the lead pastor. The Lord's leading me to do this revival work, and me and Terry need to travel. They'd say, well, then can we get that guy that came and spoke on Tuesday night after the... You know what was happening? God was speaking through the church, through believers. So, Mr. Blackaby said God speaks in four ways, but let me show you something the Lord is doing in my life right now, and I could take you to many places in the Word where God spoke. But I want you to notice where we find ourselves in the book of the Revelation. And in this particular section of the book of the Revelation, in chapter 2 and 3, there are seven literal churches, just like the one we are sitting in tonight. And God has something to say, and Jesus himself is speaking. Some believe that these churches represent different dispensations and periods of time in church history. I happen to be one of those people. And therefore believe that this last church, the seventh church, the church of Laodicea, was actually a last days church. And that we are now prophetically living in the last days. Whether you believe that or not, I want you to notice what the Word of God says. And I'm going to give you four things regarding it. And I'm going to help us tonight. I don't want to. I want God to help us know how to hear God speak this week in revival. Tomorrow night, I'll give you a little teaser. We're going to get to that little phrase that says, let them not return again to folly. In other words, I'm going to preach on sin tomorrow night. If you don't come, we're all going to know you got some that you're hiding. I'm going to talk to the pastor tonight and tomorrow about a creative altar response, an opportunity for us to come and repent publicly of our sin. You see, I'm not sure if we can do that. I'm not sure it's happening in many places. It's not happening in many places. But by the grace of God, tomorrow night it's going to happen at Southgate. I see God doing this all over, and it's such a sweet and beautiful thing to see the tears in the eyes of God's people as the Spirit reveals sin and as we bring it to Him and we deal with it in an old-fashioned altar. The next night, there's a phrase in Psalm 85 that says, surely His salvation, His deliverance is near or nigh to them that fear Him. I'm going to preach on faith. Surely, He said. I believe it. Higher ground's coming. And then finally, Surely his salvation is nigh to them that fear him. I'm going to preach on the fear of God, that glory may dwell in the land, and glory in the land on the last night, unless the Lord changes my heart. Can we pray one more time before we open this passage? Father, I sense tonight that you are at work in the lives of men and women. There's an attentiveness here and a heart to hear. There's students, Lord, and there are young people. There are, God, there are old folks and everybody in the middle, married and single people. And all of us need one thing, Lord. We need you. We need a nearness to you, and we need to hear you, God. Lord, I pray they wouldn't hear me tonight. They would hear you. I pray we would develop a culture in our homes, in our lives, in our church, of how to hear you speak in revival. Stir us, renew us in Jesus' name. Amen. Look at verse 14, Revelation 3. And unto the angel, that's the pastor, the leader, of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness. Listen to all these descriptions of Jesus. The beginning of the creation of God. Listen to what he says. Boy, this is so true of our culture. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that thou wert cold or hot. So then because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Basically what he's saying is, it makes me want to vomit. I will spew thee out of my mouth because thou sayest, listen to the way our culture looks at things. Man, we're so blessed, aren't we? We're so favored. We're so spoiled. We say, I'm rich and increased with goods. Here's the sad statement, and have need of nothing. We're doing all right, Pastor. You know, we're out of debt now. Hey, things are going okay. We've got a few new families joining the church. What about the city? What about all the people that aren't, that don't know Jesus? What about your family members and your friends? Do you think, and by the way, thank God for your church. I love the staff. I love the atmosphere. But do you think for a moment we have everything we could have from Jesus? Do you think he's able to manifest himself in as great a glory here than he ever could? They said, we have need of nothing. That's the attitude of us and churches if we're not careful. And knowest not, he said, let me tell you how I perceive you, that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich in white raiment, and that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. Now, well, notice these couple verses. Here's my text. And as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous therefore and repent. Remember that. And then a verse we probably everyone know, most of us by heart. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man will hear my voice, what? I'm talking about hearing God speak. If any man will hear my voice, I will come into him. If any man will hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me. I don't know a better definition for revival than the last part of that verse. You know what supping with Jesus is? Listen what it is. It's intimate, joyful fellowship. When we sit down together for a meal, I wish there were time for us all to sit together. It's intimate. It's special when God's people join together. He said, I'm going to sup with you. I want you to sup with me. Wouldn't it be great if this week was a week of supping with Jesus? And it can be if we hear God speak. Did you notice he's not just talking to individuals in the text? You know what he said first? Pastors. Pastors, he said, I want you to hear me speak. And then he said, verse 14, church as a whole, hey, I want you to hear me speak. Unto the angel, the pastors, unto the church. And then he made it real personal in verse 20. He said, if any man, any person, any woman, any boy, any girl, you want to hear God speak? My wife grew up as a little girl in the Catholic Church. And I believe there are some people that find the gospel and understand the truth of the gospel in a different environment than ours. I'm going to go ahead and say that. Pastor and I know we've talked about that. We do believe that happens. Even though a lot of that times that's not taught. In her church, most of the masses were in Latin. She was told, you don't need a Bible. The priest will do the interpretation of the scripture for you. Some of you are nodding your heads. You're familiar with that. She didn't understand those things, the truth of the gospel, in those early years. But in thinking about this, when God speaks, he says, I want to speak to you. He, by the way, we say this all the time. He wants a relationship with you personally and me. Do you have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ? You know what? You can't have a personal relationship without talking to somebody. You can't do it. You can't have a personal. If I do all the talking, Jacob, we're never going to be friends if I never let you get a word in edgewise. But if I listen to you and I show value to what you have to say and I share with you, then we have a good start on a great relationship. Does that make sense? So to the pastors, to the leaders, to the church as a body, to individuals, every person in this room, and anybody watching live feed today, God said, I have something to say to you. And I want to give you four things that I saw in verse 20 as to hearing God speak. And I just want you to ask him tonight, Lord, I want to cultivate such a relationship with you to where it's not every now and then, but I want to walk with you. I want to hear you speak. Every decision I have before me, God, I want to walk with you. I want to talk with you. I want to know your heart on that. Number one, I want you to notice, first of all, in verse 20, the initiative that God, he takes to speak to you. I want you to think about the initiative he takes. Look at this. The Bible says, behold, I stand at the door. He doesn't say, I want you to come to me first. He says, I want you to see that you're so important to me, I'm coming and I'm standing at your door. I want you to understand that I'm taking the initiative in this relationship. Did you know that's where it all started in the relationship with me and Terry? And if you're married with your spouse, somebody took some initiative. Somebody pursued the other one with a conversation, with a note, with a text, with something. There was some initiative taken. Does it make you feel special that the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, that the Son of God, Jesus Christ himself, stands at your door, at your heart's door, at the door of this church, at the door of the minister's office. And he's not inside, he's outside. And this is a writing to the church, to believers. I think God is showing us that in this last day's church, if we're not careful, we've got everything under control and we don't need him that much. Therefore, he's outside the door and he's knocking and asking, can I come in? He's taking the initiative. This week, you know what we're doing? We're meeting him with that initiative. And we're saying, God, you're not the only one that's taking some initiative. We've set aside some days and we're coming together and we're going to seek you. We're going to cry out to you. We're going to believe you. We're going to ask for your Holy Spirit to reveal anything in our lives that's standing in the way. We need you. Number one, the initiative he takes to speak to us. Number two, do you see the inquiry that he makes? He said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. The inquiry he makes before he speaks. You know, I've really threatened to try this as an illustration, but I've never had the guts to do it. Imagine right now if I had somebody as a prop standing outside that back door. This would scare the life out of a couple of the old folks in the back. But all of a sudden, bang, loud pounding at the door. I mean, If we knew that anybody was at that door and they weren't trying to bring us harm, you know what all of us would do? We'd go back there and open that door. First question some of you are asking is, do we have security? Pastor, are there security at the door? Because, you know, there could be somebody coming in to hurt us. But imagine if Jesus was outside the door. And he's knocking saying, hey, can I get closer to you? Can I come in there and sit down with you? Can I have the worship time, Pastor Derek? If I want to invade that, can I change your heart as to a song? Can I choose, hey, Pastor Derek, can I choose who serves with you? Are you going to control that? Hey, Pastor, can I tell you what to preach? Are you going to tell me what you're going to preach? Can I ask you a question? Whose church is this? It's not yours. It's not your staff. It's not yours, deacons, trustees. Oh, no. This church belongs. Get ready. Here's a good place for an amen. This church belongs to Jesus Christ. He should be able to come in here anytime he wants and change anything he wants and reveal himself in any way that he wants at any point. Would you agree with me on that? Hey, he also should be able to come in your house like that. He also should be able to come into your mind like that. He is taking the initiative. He is inquiring at you this week to say, hey, am I important enough for you to come back tomorrow? Will you come back one more time? Will you meet me in the morning in prayer and ask me to speak to you? Because I'll show you that I will. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. After I preached this the last time, a man came up and he said, Brother Tom, you ever noticed on that picture, do y'all know the picture I'm talking about where Jesus is standing at the door? It's the old picture. My grandma had one at her house. I wish I had it now. And you could see the door. Jesus was outside knocking. He said, you ever noticed there's not a door knob on the outside where he's knocking? And I never paid attention to it before. But we have to open the door. Number one, the initiative he takes in order to speak, the inquiry he makes before he speaks. Now let's give you number three quickly. You ready for this? The invitation to hear him speak. He said, listen to this invitation. If any man, if any person, if any boy, if any girl will hear my voice, I will come in and sup with him and he with me. Any man. You know, I convinced myself at one point that there were some preachers in my life and some leaders in my life that had such an intimate walk with God that they could just almost walk in fellowship with the Lord so sweet, and he was speaking to them on a special level. That was dumb, and it was not true. For every child of God, listen to this. Did you know he loves every one of us the same? Did you know he wants to speak to every one of us the same? I really believe there's some young people. There's some little boys and little girls in these revivals, and it's such an encouragement to see them. Sometimes they'll come up. There was a little girl that came up. You know, sometimes I have, during the revivals, us write out some things in our life. And there was a little girl so broken in the altar one night when she was repenting of her sins. She must have been about 7. I'm trying to think, what could that young'un have on her little 7-year-old list? It was causing her little heart to be broken. She repented of it. She left it in the altar. The next day when her mom picked her up at school, she said, Mom, get me home quick. She said, why, honey? She said, God showed me 3 more things that I need to make right with him. You know what's happening? Let me tell you what's happening. That's why the Lord said, come as a little child. That little girl was hearing God speak. And all it took was to open her heart. There's an invitation he's extending tonight to you. Old or young, middle-aged, single or married. Will you tune out the world for a minute? Will you give some time every day to just getting before him and being quiet? There used to be an old song we sang at my home church called Blessed Quietness. And listen for him to speak. If any man, I love that invitation. I'm an includer. You ever met an includer? I think everybody is important. And at Central, it's really funny. We have a few gazillionaires, and we have a few millionaires. I don't know if we have any gazillionaires, but I always felt that way because it seemed like they got a lot more than I got. And then we got some I believe Terry and I, we feel pretty strongly that we're 100 heirs. I really think we are. We're real close in there. And then we have people we have to take groceries to. Don't you listen to this now. Did you know, as far as God's concerned, did you know how level the ground is at the foot of the cross? He said, it doesn't matter what your experience has been. If we're not careful, we become so proud of where we are. He said this, look here. Any one of my children, if any man will hear my... Now, by the way, this is not a passage written for the lost. However, you can apply it, because I still believe whosoever will, let him come. But to the believer in the church of Laodicea, to the pastor, to the church as a whole, to any individual, if you'll come, any man, any woman, any young person, I want to talk to you. If any man will hear my voice. He said one other thing, it's pretty important, and I meditate on it quite a lot, and open the door. Well, what in the world do you think that means? Well, what would it mean to open the door so we could hear God speak? I think it may be found in that verse right before it. I told you to take note of it. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and what? Repent. I believe repentance is a part of opening that door. I think in order to hear God speak, we have to be honest about our sin. Which is, I'm going to give you an opportunity for that in a very creative and a kind and a 21st century way tomorrow night. Open the door. I think the opening of the door has to have some faith in it to believe God really is going to speak to me. He really does want to talk to me. You ever been amazed sometimes, look down at your phone and see somebody calling you, you think, good heavens, that's somebody really important and they're calling me on the phone. They probably dialed the wrong number. Anybody ever felt that way? I could tell you stories. But that's the way I feel every time somebody like Junior Hill calls me on the phone. Or people that I have great respect for. I almost have to wipe the tears away thinking, Lord, I don't deserve this. And when I think that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, has taken the initiative and made an inquiry and given me an invitation that if you want to hear my voice, I will speak to you. And I'm going to tell you categorically on the authority of God's word tonight, He wants to speak to you. Some of you are in a crisis moment right now. Some of you are far away from Him or you're cold on Him or you have a need for something so desperately to hear His heart on it. I'm going to tell you, if you listen, He will speak to you. Speak in one of those four ways, or maybe in some other way. And then finally, the intimacy with Him after He speaks. Oh, there's nothing like this. When I was a boy growing up, we sang the song, and some of you older ones remember this too. We sang that song, it says, come and dine, the Master calleth. Come and dine. You may feast at Jesus' table all the time. What was the next part? What is it? He who fed the multitude, turned the water into wine, to the hungry calleth now, come and dine. Come in, sup. Come in little nearer to me. Remember what revival is, falling in love with Him all over again. Wonder how many times He's waited for us to come and sit with Him and listen, to bring our hearts to Him and hear His heart for us. He said, I have something for you if you'll hear me speak. It's intimate, joyful fellowship. Supping together, intimate, joyful fellowship. Let me give you two little quick examples. We won't turn there. I just want to tell you about them. In the book of 1 Kings chapter 18, in that moment when Elijah was standing on Mount Carmel, do y'all remember this? And he prayed that prayer. And they had already, prophets of Baal in the groves had tried to call fire down and they couldn't do it. And here he is standing up there and he's praying to God. He's built the altar back up and he says, Lord, I want them to know that you're God in Israel and that I'm your servant and I've done all these things. Anybody remember the next part? At your word, whoom, the Bible says, then the fire fell. Lord, I want them to know you told me to come up here on Carmel. Every time God's ever spoken to me and I've had to stand in front of that church and declare it by faith, there was always the enemy or my flesh that came and said, hey, if this don't happen, they're going to know you're a fake. The devil always fights faith. Let me give you one more in the New Testament. Luke 5:5. Peter's out there with Jesus. Jesus said, hey, say you fished all night, have you, Peter? All night. Ain't caught a thing. We know this lake like the back of our hand. He said, well, how about doing this? I've already cleaned my nets up, Lord. Don't ask me, hey, will you throw the net on the other side? Lord, wait a minute. I know which side. I'm a professional fisherman. Don't you know that? I'm a Baptist pastor. I know which side to fish on. He said, get the net back out and throw it on the other side. You remember what he said? He said, Lord, we fished all night, not caught anything. Nevertheless, at thy word, I let down the net. And every fish in the Sea of Galilee tried to get in that net. Had to call all his buddies to pull their boats over there to get them in. Why? Because God spoke. Did you know God will speak about who your life partner's to be? What your life work is to be? What your next ministry is to be? How to deal with a family in crisis or a challenge when a relationship has gotten stale and cold and dry? What the next step will be? What God wants for a city? Why do you think the ministry of the prophets were so important in the Bible? Because God would speak to the prophets and they would tell the people what God had to say. And then the people would come and speak to the priests. And the priest would come to God with the needs of the people. I'm here to tell you tonight, and I want to ask you, if you got a call from Jesus tonight, and he said, hey, would you take some time with me? I want to speak to you personally on where you are right now. Would you come to me in the morning about 7 o'clock or 6? Bring your Bible. Come with sins confessed, and I want to give you some answers that'll change your life. Psalm 85 says, I will hear what God the Lord will speak. Let's bow our heads together in prayer just for a moment. The invitation will be a simple one. Tonight, they may want to sing or they just may want to play. I don't know. But I'm going to invite you to do something tonight. If God has spoken to you, even in the band, those of you that are coming forward, if God's spoken to you, I want you to respond to him in this. Maybe you need to say, you know, my relationship has gotten far too antiseptic. I've been going through the motions, but I want that intimacy with God to the point where I can hear him speak to me. If he really does want to, and he really does love me, and he really does know me, I want to hear him speak. At your seat, would you say to God, Lord, forgive me for not listening as I should. Forgive me for letting other things become so loud in my ears that I haven't heard you. I'm tuning those out and I'm tuning you in this week. If we're going to have a glory revival, it'll all start with our listening for God to speak. And then we have a responsibility after we hear him speak. Are you listening? To say, yes, Lord. Yes, I will. Yes, I will. Holy Spirit, this morning we shared of you and the work you want to do in us. And I believe a lot of people prayed, Holy Spirit, fill me. Speak to us in this meeting. We recognize the ministry of love that you have to us. And we don't want to grieve you or quench you. Or we don't want to lie to you or tempt you. So tonight, Lord, would you take this truth of hearing your son speak. That we'll take it personally. I pray there'll be some kids go home tonight and say to their mom and dad, I want to go spend time with Jesus. I want to hear him speak to me. And Lord, I pray you'd make yourself so real to them through your word, through the scriptures, through prayer, through the circumstances, through the church, that they'll know you're nearer to them. May this week be one where we draw so near to you, Lord, just falling in love with you all over again. God, I pray for the leaders of this church. This is such a challenging moment to lead people.
There seems to be no fear of God. All kinds of challenges on national, international levels, and sin rampant everywhere. Jesus, I pray for leaders who will hear you speak. So your will be done. This is your invitation. Maybe you'll draw men and women to come and publicly bow, acknowledging their need to hear you speak, and even confessing that they haven't listened as they should. Or at our seats, your will, Lord. This is your invitation. In Jesus' name. Let's stand together with our heads bowed while they lead us. God's spoken to you. Come on. Dad, will you come? Hey, this decision to hear God speak may influence your children. It may influence the decision some of them are about to make right now. Deacons, leaders, will you come and say, Lord, speak to us so that we align ourselves in the place you want us to be? Would you come? Would you come? Father, thy will be done. Speak, Lord. Speak, God.